now in the period of time that is known as the Ben HaMetzarim, known as the 3 weeks. We know that this week's parsha of Shabbat, Parshas Devarim, is always read right before Tisha B'Av. And we know that the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av and the Shabbat after Tisha B'Av have special names that are given to it. The Shabbat after Tisha B'Av is called Shabbat Nachamu, based on the Perek in Yeshaya, the vision of Yeshaya Navi of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, where Kosh Baruch Hu tells us to be comforted. And we can understand that the Shabbos is about, after going through a difficult 3 weeks of mourning, that we enter into the Shifta de Mechemta, the 7 weeks of comfort. What's perhaps more fascinating is the Shabbat of this week's Parsha of Devarim, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, which we know is brought down in source number 1, is referred to as Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of vision, based on the beginning of the Haftarah of Yeshaya HaNavi, Chazon Yeshayahu, this is the vision of Yeshaya. And it is noted, this week's Haftarah, the famous vision of Isaiah, gives its name to the day Shabbat Chazon, literally the Shabbat of the vision. Traditionally, this is read as a powerful indictment of rebellious people. The fascinating thing is that a name represents the essence. So I understand that the name of Shabbos Shuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is called by the Haftarah, Shuvah Yisrael and Hosea. But the essence of the time is Shuvah. The essence of the time is Shabbos Nachamu. The essence of the time of Shabbos Hagadol, albeit also named for the end of Haftarah Malachi, is about the great event and the great miracles that transpired and will transpire at this time. But I'm a little bit more, the Mefarshim, the commentators are struggle a little bit more with the name Shabbat Chazon, because where do you see here that Chazon, this vision, is the essence of what the Shabbat is about, what this period is about? It's technically the vision of Yeshaya. It's interesting that Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev in source number 3 notes that it is a day when we are presented with the vision of the third temple, even though we see it from a great distance. So here Reb Levi Yitzchak explains that Shabbat Chazon is about the vision, not only the vision of Yeshaya, but the vision that we have of the third Beis HaMikdash. We need to understand that further. It doesn't seem to be pshat in what the vision is about. In fact, the Lekach V'Alibuv in source number 2 notes that all the Shabbatot in the 3 weeks are very special. And there's a special element of holiness that is unique to this time. The Ramzub and Seba Sfarim HaKadoshim Tiferet Shlomo brings down on the Pasuk Rav Lach Shevet B'Emek HaBacha. Rav Lach in terms of not enough, but Rav, Ma'od, it is great. Sitting in the Emek HaBacha, particularly the Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of the 9 days, the Shabbat of the great intensity. I'd like to try to understand, Amir Tzashem, today together, is what is, all three approaches will be based on Chassidic insights. What is the nature of Shabbat Chazon that we can glean an insight, not only technically, this was the vision of Yeshaya about the rebellious people, but how the Shabbat Chazon really characterizes what the 3 weeks is about and presents for us a mindset, a way to think, during this period of time. I'd like to take, as I mentioned, three approaches. It's really going to be one approach, and to develop that one approach and to expand on it in two different dimensions. Very interesting insight in the Sefer Binos Desha, where he notes in source number 4, and it's something fascinating to think about. He says, Se'ura'u kol uma v'lashon. If you take a look at every nation, Ech midei shana v'shana chogegim et yom atzmot shalahem. At Yom Hayotam La'am. If you look at each nation, how it celebrates their day of independence, you'll notice that each one has their own unique ways of celebrating, whether it's by parades or whether it's by shows. I remember as a kid going to watch the fireworks of July 4th. Right? There are certain things that are very unique to every national holiday. But in every nation, the common denominator is there's some type of happening that goes on in celebrating victory. But what you don't find very fascinating among, and obvious, for obvious reasons, among the different countries, is there's no day celebrating or marking the time of destruction, the time of losing the war. The victorious nation marks it, but the losing nation tries in every way possible almost to erase it from the history book. Ach lo, in source number 5, Haitazo Bisrael, that this is not true of the Jewish people. For 2,000 years, the entire nation, wherever we may be, sits on the ground on Tisha B'Av and cries, V'koveya zikaron nitzchi, and has a memorial for our destruction, for our downfall, for entering into galus, for entering into exile. And not only is it a one-day memorial, in fact, as we know, as we're the period we're in now, it's a three-week time period where we remember the downfall of the Jewish people, we remember the sins of the people, and we remember ultimately how we were vanquished. Eze Uma, the end of 5, and I think this is such a poignant piece here. Eze Am minatrimet tfusatam b'tzirah kazo. What nation marks her downfall in this way? Ayin, none. Rak b'nei Yisrael, hamunim al richad chagim zech liyitzah Mitzrayim. He says it's only the Jewish people who have a time of holidays remembering the leaving of Egypt. Zman lechevutenu ba'ava, the time of our freedom with love. Zman matan toratenu ba'ava, we remember the time we received the Torah with love. Zman simchatenu, the time of rejoicing with love. This nation remembers in a steadfast way how we were sent into exile also with love. This is the mark of the Jewish people. Not only are we remembering our victory with love, remembering our downfall as well with love. And the explanation is simple, continues Binoz Deshe of Shinor in Source 6. Because if it's only about the concept of Kochi Va'otzem Yodi, how strong we are, how great we are, so then if it's only about us, then we only remember the times that we were successful. But if it's not about remembering us, if it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Hashem is the center of our attention, so we remember all that Hashem does for us, both the positive, the leaving of Egypt with love, as well as the exile with love. Because the focus is not on our strength, the focus is not on our invincibility, the focus is on the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha, Hashem's special providence, drives us and directs us throughout our lives. And this is why, my friends, we know in Source 8a and Source 8b that the theme, the focus of fast days is not only to fast, but a key component and a component that you need to have is tshuva, is to repent. And as he notes here in Source 8b, Hinei ki kein dvarim brurim, chayavim latzum v'zum mitzvat tatzeh. We are obligated to fast, and that's a positive commandment. V'chein chayavim lachzor b'tshuva, and we have to return to Hashem. Zoi hamatara shalatani. This is the purpose of the fast, and we can't lose that focus. Because all of these days, a moed, a festival, and Tisha B'Av is also called a festival, is the time to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if the center of the axis is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then our times of joy allow us to connect with Hashem, and likewise our times of tribulation, our time of exile, Zman Galutenu Ba'ava, the time that we've been sent into exile, it too is commemorated with love, with our ability to return back to Hashem. And this, my friends, is indeed in source number 9. What Eov, what Job responds to his wife, when his wife says, Otcha machzik v'tumecha, you're still going to hold on to your tmimus, to your simple faith, just curse God and die. And he responds in a very, very sharp manner. He says, Gam ata tov nekabel meit Elokim, v'tara lo nekabel. Only the good we're going to accept from God and not the bad. Everything is coming from Hashem, and we need to accept the entire picture. And this, my friend, is the first understanding of what Shabbat Chazon is about. Very beautiful idea that Nesiva Shalom brings down from the Sefer O of Yisrael, where he says that Shabbat Chazon is about a Nevuah Shel Bsara. It's telling us very important news. V'inyan Chazon Yishayahu Shebo Nitgalen Source 10 Godel Avat Hashem Yisrael V'chol HaMatzavim. The theme of the Haftarah is the theme, the Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of Vision, is that Hashem loves us in all circumstances. Kemosh Ne'amarba, as the Navi teaches us, Banim Gidalti V'romamti V'heim Pashubi. Banim Gidalti, Hashem has raised children and elevated them, and they have rebelled against Hashem. Zera Mera'im Banim Ashkitim Azvu At Hashem. The seed has gone bad. These children have left the path. They've left the Hashem. But listen carefully. L'lameid shafilu kasher pashubi. Vein banim mashchitim hareim gam kein banim. The beauty in this Haftarah, says the All of Yisrael, that the Nesiva Shalom quotes, is that even when Yeshaya HaNavi from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking about how the Jewish people have left Hashem, they're still referred to as banim mashchitim, the children that have gone astray. Because ben kach hu ben kach kruyim banim. No matter what, we are called the children of God. Shabbat Chazon is that message to us. It's not just technically the vision of Yeshaya. It's a vision of Yeshaya which gives us strength not only for the 9 days, but for the entire year. It's the essence of what Yiddishkeit is about. That it's not only when things are good, Shabbat Nachamu, that Hashem has relationship with us. It's Zman Chayruteinu Ba'ava and it's Zman Galuteinu Ba'ava. Even when we go astray, Hashem loves us. It's the image continues in Siva Shalom in 11, where the Gemara describes how the Kruvim were Ma'urim Zeba Zeh, the Kruvim were embracing one another at the time of the exile, because it's also a time of tremendous love. But you know what, something, my friends? And this is very, very crucial. Continues in the Siva Shalom in Source 13. And he says, Umala Yeterahi. There's even a more elevated level. Tashir Nisiyat HaLev Shel Yudi LaShem Yitzbarach Himitoch Hester V'Chashkos. When a Jew is able to assimilate this message, to internalize this message, that Hashem loves us and that Hashem never leaves us no matter what, and a Jew is able, through darkness, through trials and tribulations, to be able to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be able to feel that relationship of banim, of a child, that's even a higher level. When a person feels as if, God forbid, they're thrown away, pushed away from Hashem. But nevertheless, at that moment, they still feel this closeness. This is more beloved to Hashem than when a Jew is able, when things are going well, to connect to Hashem. And he brings a gevaldik word from the Avodas Yisrael. And the pasuk lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zruah, describing the Jewish people, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the first haftarah we read in 3 weeks, speaks about how Jewish people went after Hashem in the midbar, in the desert, a land that wasn't planted. And the Ari HaKadosh explains there that based on this pasuk lechtech acharai, walking after me, that the door midbar, the generation of the desert, is referred to as Achrai, as Achor, as the back generation, as the backside. So the obvious question is, what do you mean? How could they be described that way? They were the generation that saw Panim and Panim face to face. the miracles, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you call it the back? So here he explains, and this is key. Ela shebechinos pani meitzel Yehudi dafka be'etshu be'hester. Ubitocha hester motzeas Hashem itbarach. You want to know what a real face-to-face relationship is? You want to know what real greatness is? When it isn't simple. When it's simple, that's back, that's easy. But when it's difficult, when it's dark, to continue on, to pursue, to say, I'm not going to give up hope. I nonetheless, I know and I feel and I understand that there's tremendous love here. Zman cheruteinu ba'ava, zman galuteinu ba'ava, even when Hashem punishes us. The good and the bad are both coming from Hashem. They're ways of calling me to come closer to Him. And I won't be pushed away. I'm going to drive closer. That's the Bechina of Panim. That's an aspect of face. And this, Rav Schechter speaks about, based on the writings of Nachman Mibreslov in 14, Kabbalistic texts speak about that the final exile of the Jewish people as being personal in nature. This refers to all the pain and suffering that each individual experiences. Rav Nachman added that the main source of exile is in the mind. When we become so confused and doubt-filled that we lack clarity and forget about Hashem, this is the worst exile of all, and escaping from it is the birth pangs of Mashiach on a personal level. Still, we must never forget that the very purpose of exile is to illumine and to transform the aspect of birth pangs into Mashiach. Chazal say when a person has knowledge of Hashem, it's as if the holy temple was built in his days. Suffering is never for its own sake, God forbid, but that we may repair the negative situation and uplift it, that we rebuild the temple on a personal level. My friends, if this is the first aspect, that Hashem treats us in the positive and the more challenging situations with love, and we need to be able to embrace Hashem that way, and that is the vision, that is the whole Shabbos, that's the whole tone that we take with us, just like Shabbos Shira, is the Shira Shirim of all Shabbos. We take Shabbat Chazon as well as a message for all weeks of the year that Hashem is close to us, Hashem loves us. Our job is to embrace Him and to find Him. It's these two ideas, finding Hashem and embracing Him, as well as understanding that the both the challenges as well as the blessing are gifts from Hashem, are the two aspects that I'd like to, Bezrat Hashem, develop together now to get a little bit of a deeper understanding of the 3 weeks and on each level to be able to understand Shabbat Chazon in a slightly different aspect. What does it mean to be able to find Hashem? What does it mean to connect to Him, to be able to connect with this light? It's a very beautiful piece. The Sifti Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander in Tchelet Gimel, on the 3 weeks. And he describes in Source 15 a very interesting hesped, eulogy, that a certain zaken, a certain elderly person gave for a great tamakocha. And he describes, based on the psukim and the language of the psukim and the word hafle, it's a wondrous thing that's used once and then twice and then three times in different psukim, that there are really three stages of hester panim, of divine concealment. The first stage comes when we have challenges and difficulties in life. The second stage is the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And the third stage with the taking away the righteous people, the death of the tzaddikim, of the great Torah luminaries. And he notes the Siftei Chaim based on Rav Dessler. And this is really a sod for really what the 3 weeks are about. So often we're faced with this challenge, and we've discussed this in the past. How do we make the 3 weeks personal? So hard, if Beit HaMikdash was so many years ago. How can I relate to Golos HaShechina, the exile of God's presence? It's not shayach, it's not personal for me in my world. So Rav Dessler gives, I think, a very powerful model, which is, albeit a bit philosophical, but at the same time, I believe, very practical. He says in Source 16, let's learn together. Moreni v'Rabbeinu Gon Rav Eliezer Dessler Zatzal, Hirchiv l'va'er mai hashras hashchina. He explains what is Hashra'as HaShchina, the divine presence resting in our midst. The Pasuk says, Vasuli Mikdash Shachanti Betocha, that we should make for God a tabernacle and he will dwell among them. And our rabbis explain, Betocham Betokol Achavi B'nei Yisrael, there's Hashra'as HaShchina, there's a divine dwelling not only in one locale in the Beis HaMikdash, but Betocham in each and every one of us. Belev HaAdam in the soul, in the heart of man. Ech Zocheh HaAdam Hashra'at HaShchina B'libo, and how do we deserve such Hashra'as HaShchina? How can we define and characterize this type of divine revelation, divine feeling resting within us? So he explains, Halevu Makor L'Ritzinotav Shel Adam. The heart is the seat of the desires of a person. Hu Menuvat Oto V'Chifotav L'Or Ritzinotav. It's what drives a person based on their ambitions and needs in a certain direction. And then you have, if that's the heart with desires, I want to do this, I want to do that, then you have the secha, the mind, who kli hayidiyava sagash al adam, and that's the intellectual aspect of a person. And he notes, v'kasher halev shehu mekor ritzon hadam, when the heart, which is the desires of a person, mekabel et aroit v'rech shmo yidei yidiyat ha-secha, is ready to receive direction through the mind, Shiha Mashpia El Libo, and it's able, the mind is able to influence the heart, to direct the heart. V'le'or kabbalat hashva'a zu minaveta lev eritzenotav v'shifotav, zoli hashra'at hashchina b'libo. Wow! What is the definition on one level of hashra'as hashchina? Wherein the mind is able to direct the heart to go in the correct direction. You know, it's interesting, and he notes this in source number 18. Adam HaRishon didn't have this dichotomy of mind-heart. His heart, and Moshe Rabbeinu was on this level, was in direct sync. Well, this is Ritzon Hashem, this is the will of God. We have to go through, because of the eating of the Eitz Hadat, the V'yadata Hayom, the intellectual knowledge, and then vashevote levavecha, and then be able to bring it to your heart. And when you're able to have the mind rule over the heart, that is hashra'as hashchina. God can be found in such a place. And this is really reflected in the very famous Medrash, where the Medrash says in source 19, Vayomer Esav b'libo, and Esav said in his heart, harishoyim b'rishut libam, the Rishoyim, the wicked people, are in control. Their hearts are in control of them. But Sadiqim, but rather the righteous people, Libam Birshutam, the righteous people have control over their hearts. They're not controlled by their hearts. HaSadiqim HaSechu Manhiget Libam, their mind is able to direct their hearts. Which means that a person is able to drive their lives in a certain way. You know, I think perhaps on a very simplistic level, if anyone has ever tried to ride a horse, so I can't say I ever have, but I could imagine from what I know about riding horses, is that the horse is an animal that it needs to be reined in and controlled to go to trot in a certain way. And if you don't have that, and the horse is left to its own volition, so, and you don't know how to ride a horse correctly, so you may find yourself in a very interesting predicament, i.e. landing up, I don't know, head first or feet first, you know, flying wherever, which way. The horse has a mind of its own. The horse represents the behemoth, the animalistic, the drives of a person. If the drives of the person are running the person's life, so your life is going to be hefker. I want to speak Lashon Hara, I want to eat this, I want to do this, I want to do that. You're like a little child going wild. You know, every whim, everything you have, you're going to feed these desires. That's not healthy. Hashra'as HaShchina means, it means I'm living a life of restraint. I'm living a life of godliness, where I say, yes, I want to speak this Lashon Hara. And yes, I will get some very, very, very deep pleasure. Perverse as it may be, but it's pleasure. And I say, no. My sechel, my mind says, it's usur. I'm not allowed to. And I control myself. I rein the horse in. That is Hashra Sashrina. I've been able to bring godliness into my life. And this, my friends, is why it is so crucial. Im Hasechel, source 20, Yish'of Rak Elapnimius Ha'emes, V'lo Yikabel At Hashvat Ha'Lev, Azai Yeh Mesugala Charkach Gam La'Shiv El Ha'Lev. Aval Im Ein Sichlo Sho'ef Al Ha'emem, Hare Lo Yitachein Yidiyat V'Asagat Ha'Sechel, Adraba Ha'Lev Hu Yishabed Et Sichlo, Kefi Ritzonotav V'Tavotav. If a person is determined to be a person of following MS truth, and then they're going to go to all extents to live a life of truth, a life of Torah, they can be able to rein the heart in. Otherwise, the desires of the heart take over. And that is why practically, my friends, during the 3 weeks, you know, some of you may remember that show about, I think it was Mr. Ed, the horse that talks, of course, we need to have a little talk with our horse aspect within us, a little conversation. So when I take my morning orange juice in the morning or my morning coffee, and part of me says, just leave me alone with my coffee and my paper, and I'll mumble a bracha. So that's what the horse is saying. And the seichel and the individual says, no, you're a person. You have an opportunity through this bracha to connect with Hashem in the most personal way. You know how privileged you are to mention Hashem's name? Wow! Say the bracha with joy. And there it involves a bit of a dialogue. During the 3 weeks, if we're able to allow three times a day, a few times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, let's begin there. Davening, let's begin there. Pick certain points during the day that you encounter continually through the day. And say, no, my sechel is going to rule over my lev. I have worked on bringing back the Hashra Sashrina. And the only way we know to have the grand Hashra Sashrina, the divine presence resting, is for each and every one of us to begin on our own personal level. And as we begin to rebuild our personal temple, our personal connection with Hashem, we've created an aura around us. We create waves around us that brings the effects of Hashra Sashrina in many, many dimensions around us. Explains Rav Friedlander very beautifully. He says, when the people were on a level that their heart was the one driving their sechel, driving their intellect, when they were on that level, what happened was, not only is there a tzimtzum, is there a contraction, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give us the blessings that He wants to give us. And that's where the poverty, and that's where the yisurim, the challenges of life, begin to happen. And that's the first hafla, the first wonderment and terrible thing, is yisurim challenges come upon a person. But lo and behold, we still have in 23 the Beis HaMikdash to be a place of Yirat Shamayim, to inspire a person to come closer to Hashem, and to use the Beis HaMikdash to be the place where the mind can be able to direct the heart. But lo and behold, the Jewish people didn't use the temple for this purpose. Instead of using the Beis HaMikdash as the place to elevate themselves, as the Pasuk in Yirmiyah describes, they use it to cover up and to hide their sins. They abuse this place. And as a consequence, Hashem takes this away. And then finally, we have as our third and last resort, mini Batei Mikdash. We have personalities that are shining examples of what it means to live a life connected 24/7 to Hashem. A life where the seichel, the mind, is directing the body. People who are disciplined people. People of Das Torah, of connecting to God. But when we abuse these people as well, when we live a life of externality, when we live a life, v'libo rachak mimenu, our heart is far away from us, far away from our action, then we too cannot access these great models of the tzaddikim, and they too are taken away from us. And then asks Rav Chaim Friedlander in 26, Omnam onesh dehu hafla v'fela mukshav v'chamur mikol tzad. But now that Hashem has not only given us challenges and punishment, and not only has He taken away the temple, but Hashem is also has taken away our tzaddikim. Matach reish lachu gamet aderech hachrona litzalo biyurat shemayim. Now that Hashem has taken the last way that we can grow in our yirat shemayim, and we know parenthetically that yirat shemayim is related to re'iyat shemayim. Yira and re'iyah are the same root, to be able to see Hashem, to be able to see with clarity what our purpose in this world is about. L'tikun asecho v'alev ha'ideat tzaddiki. Ma matara ma tuelep onesheh. What's the point in giving us this punishment? V'adarab fakir ha'idei shelachu. Banu et ha'fsharut ha'achrona lomo v'talo b'yirat shemayim. Matzav yi'ush de'alu la'vi lidei chorban v'ashchata yoter gadol. Now that you've taken away the last thing that we have, what's left? We're in a worse situation than before. Now how are we expected to be able to connect the lev and the sechel? If we weren't able to do it with the tzaddikim around, can you imagine without the tzaddikim, what's left for us? And here's the key. B'yer moreinu v'rabeinu agon rav Eliyahu deslu zatzal. K'shadam magia l'matzav shel yeyush v'shvira. When you reach a point of despondency and despair and brokenness, when you see that you've taken away that last nekuda achrona, that last point to be able to raise ourselves up in Yirat Hashem, ha'pela atzmo hu yeldeiro tol l'tikun, hu yitein lo et hatchifa li'alot atzmit v'yirat shemayim. Sometimes we need to recognize. Sometimes we need to recognize that when everything is taken away from us, when we have absolutely nothing left, that is the very time that we then turn to ourselves in an honest look and say, if I have nothing left, then it's totally dependent on me. It's like so often in life, we go through life and we depend on this person and that person, and when everybody fails us, and we realize that we have no hope but ourselves, so then we pull ourselves by the bootstraps. When one, God forbid, is drowning and there's nothing there to save them, they pull at anything. When we look around and say, we have nothing, we have no base to make us, we have Chorban, we have destruction all around us, we have no one to have these tzaddikim to look up to as we should, then we have nothing left but our own yeyush, our own despair. And it's the despair itself that's going to lead us to recognizing that if we don't begin working on it ourselves, then no one's going to do it for us. And that's the essence of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is that point of introspection where Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Rotzehi Sigua Ben Mitzarim. Shalom says, Korodevka, all those who run after Hashem can be able to pursue Hashem during this time. It's a time built in where we really take a hard look of tshuva at our situation and realize how distant we are, what a disparity there is between our mind and our heart, to really honestly look at ourselves and see how our heart drives our lives and our mind is very little in sync with our heart. When I realize the situation, that begins the point of tshuva, the point of return, the point of climbing back. Ech Yuchal 29, Lorera Pnimiuto, Biprat, Bidor, Iklisa, de Mashiach. How can we, in our generation, the generation of the heels of Mashiach, the heels of Segura points out in 28, one of the places that's the most distant from the heart, the place where we're so disconnected from any feeling of what we're doing and why we're doing it. How can we be not affected by the chitzonius, by the superficiality of our generation? Rak ayidei la'aroch machshavot liponim tamid v'yirat shamayim. We have to be able to recognize that our actions, which are so melumada, that are so habitual, that the mind isn't having the kavana, having the intention that it needs to direct and to drive us. Our job during 3 weeks, during the entire year, to bring back Hashras Hashchina is to work on Yirat Shamayim, to work on this cognizance, on this connection, on this conversation between my sechel, my head, and my lev, and my heart. And I think in this way, my friends, this is what Shabbat Chazon is all about. We know that if during the week this is our challenge, Shabbos is almost given to us as a gift. Nefesh Shimshon Rav Pinkus explains, on the Pasuk, and Hashem completed on the seventh day. Everything was completed at the onset of night and 30, at the last moon of Erev Shabbos. So it should have said, and God completed on the seventh night. But it says the seventh day because there is no night by Shabbos. There's only day. Shabbos in 31, there's no distinction between nighttime and daytime. This is because night, the blanket of darkness that hides Hashem from us, is not present on Shabbos. It's a 24-hour period when all's day, all light, and Hashem may be found everywhere. And it's like a real challenge on Friday night when I say goodnight to my kids not to say goodnight. And they remind me, Ima, you can't say goodnight. It's good Shabbos because there is no night. It's only day. And philosophically, symbolically, day is being able to pierce through the darkness and being able to see so clearly why we're in this world, to see so clearly how Hashem runs the world. In 32, that place of the Beis HaMikdash where we felt Hashem's hand and the miracles that Hashem did, that is taken over now by Shabbos Kodesh. And this is why we begin Shabbos in 34, and it's a nice idea to think about with lighting, particularly as women, hadlakas neros. We are the ones who bring in the Shabbos candles, the Shabbos light, the Shabbos clarity, where we understand that Shabbos is about sensing and feeling, and that's our challenge, and that's really the thesis of Rav Pinkus' Sefer, which is an incredible Sefer. Feeling the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is present on Shabbos. And therefore, Lekach V'Libuv notes that there is an inyan of not having avelus, not mourning on Shabbos. Because during the week, when I'm mourning the Chorban, which is really mourning that Hashem's presence is not found, on Shabbos I don't mourn because on Shabbos we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Vine in 36, al Shabbat amru b'gemara, kol ma'aneg et haShabbos, anyone who rejoices with Shabbos, they're given a nachala b'li mitzarim, a portion without boundaries. Because this is, on Shabbos, a person believes that the Shekhinah is Shor B'Yisrael. And this is the exact opposite of the Mei Ben HaMitzarim, the narrow straits, which is a time where you don't feel Hashem's presence. What is the greatness of Shabbat Chazon? During the week of the 9 days when we feel more intensely the lack of Hashem's presence during the week because I'm mourning the destruction of the temple, then on that Shabbos I feel with much more intensity Hashem's presence. When I'm focused and my mind is on the lack, then I can appreciate with much sharper clarity when I find it on Shabbos. Shabbat Chazon is the Shabbat of the great vision. It's a great vision where I understand that Shabbos is not a time of avelus. Shabbos is not a time of mourning, because Shabbos is the time where the veil is lifted and I'm able to see with clarity the Neshama Yaseira, how Hashem's presence is very much found in my life. So the Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of vision, is not only the specific vision of Yeshaya HaNavi. It's a vision for each and every one of us. It's a vision of Yirat Shamayim, the fear of heaven. It's a vision of Re'iyat Shamayim, the vision of being able to see. And again, as Shabbos Shira is Shira Shiri, the Shabbos every week is the Shabbos of vision of seeing Hashem. And Shabbat Chazon is the Chazon HaChazyonot. It's a vision of all visions where I feel most intensely. Hence, from Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, being able to see the third temple, I've seen so intensely that connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. My friends, let's just summarize what we've seen till now and enter into the third, most beautiful level. Jewish people are unique. Zman cheruteinu ba'ava, zman galuteinu ba'ava. Redemption with love, exile with love. Our job is to be able to see at all times and connect through the darkness. What does it mean to connect? To connect means to live a life where the sechel, the mind, is able to direct the heart. Where that we have tight reins on the horse, that I recognize I'm living a Torahdic life, a spiritual life, to be able to see Hashem's hand in my life, to be able to see how my life is directed by His laws, His ways, and to be able on Shabbat Chazon to, yes, feel the vision that even when we sin, we're still the children of God, but to equally see how that intense relationship of Hashem dwelling among us is found most predominantly on Shabbos, and most especially on Shabbat Chazon. The third aspect, which is really filling in the other half of the first level, is to understand that this idea of being able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu at all times and at all places, to be able to feel that my life is with direction, that I'm able to have this course set up and try to make my life a godly life during all situations at all times, is really developed very beautifully in an essay by Rav Kalman Bar in Maaseh Rokeim, where he speaks about the first Haftorah of the 3 weeks. When Yirmiyahu HaNavi gets his first vision, and Hashem says, what do you see? And he says, I see a rod of an almond tree. And Hashem says, hey, Tafti L'Rot, you've seen well. The first he asks, what do you mean? This is the only time in all of Navi that we see Hashem saying, great job, you saw well. What was so hard about seeing an almond branch? So Radak notes that there were no flowering on the branch. He was able to recognize the branch. But obviously, it's deeper than that. What is it that Yirmiyahu HaNavi saw? What is it that Shabbat Chazon sees? Very interesting pasuk at the end of Echa in Source 47. The pasuk says, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadei shemeinu keketem. Hashem, return us to you, and we will come back to you, and we'll renew the days like of old. Ki ima'os ma'astanu, because if you have despised us, kafatzta leinu ad ma'od, you become very angry with us. And the commentators point out that we usually don't like to end on a negative note. And that's why we repeat, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, Hashem, bring us back again. But nevertheless, it does end on a negative note. We repeat that Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. But how do we understand this negative note that Hashem has despised us and He gets very angry at us? So Farshim point out, and this is the key. The ma'os ma'asanu, the disgust that Hashem feels, is not a disgust like, oh, move away from me, but it's a disgust that brings katzafta aleinu ad ma'od, a tremendous amount of retribution and anger from God, but it's coming in order to make us better. It's coming in order to direct us in how we need to behave. It's like the Nesiv HaShalom, as well as he brings down here, brings the example of two types of relationships of a father. A father who loves his son in normal circumstances. And then lo aleinu, a father who has to operate on his own child. The father operating on his child is crying, how could I hurt my child? But on the other hand, the operation is one of love because he recognizes that whatever pain he's inflicting on the child, it's in order to make the child better. And that is the relationship here. Ma'os ma'astanu, if it was just disgust and that was it, we'd be in trouble. But kafasta leino ma'od, if God is going to get so angry at us, it means that He loves us. It means that it's punishment not to harm us, but to make us better people, to make us stronger people. And that the punishment and the galus is man galutenu ba'ava. He's sending us into exile in order for us to become stronger and closer to Him. Very interesting, Marsha. It's a whole series of Gemaras of the elders of Athens who asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya different questions. One of the questions they asked, and they're more or less riddles, the Juggler and King by Rabbi Aaron Feldman brings this particular one down as well as the other ones, where they bring him two eggs, and they ask him which came from a black chicken and which came from a white chicken. So he brings them two pieces of cheese and says to them, which came from a black goat and which came from a white goat? Now, obviously, these are riddles. So the Maharsha, this is the end of 47, 48, explains the riddles as follows. The Goyim are asking Rabbi Yeshua the following question. How is it possible that you have an egg hatches in 21 days, Chazal tell us, that you have a 21-day period of darkness from Shivasar B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av? And then how do you have a parallel 21 days from Rosh Hashanah through Hoshana Rabbah? How can you have the same amount of days, one from black and one from white, one from a period of destruction and one from a period of joy? How is it possible that their two are equated? And he answers by saying, here are two cheeses from two goats. We have the two goats of Yom Kippur. One is sent Lazazel over the cliff, and is you know, bones are shattered on its way down, and the other one is given over as a sacrifice to Hashem. Which one is closer to God? Both of them. Both experiences of Zman Cheruteinu Ba'ava and Zman Galuteinu Ba'ava. The Seir that's brought to God and the goat that's broken its bones down the cliff. As he says in the asterisk in 49, Bein ha-mitzarim ein yamim elu yamei sinah va-onesh. You should look at them as days of hatred and punishment. Ein l'rov bahem et toldot shel tarnagot shchorah. Don't look at them as a black time. Adarava, achein minayin yamim elu zahel l'kafei alef yamim ha-simcha shivachodesh tishrei. These days parallel the 21 days in Tishrei. Because both of them is tafkidam l'karev et adam l'baro, to bring a person closer to Hashem. Sometimes this closeness comes from joy, and sometimes it comes from difficulties. But it's one and the same. Kirvos adam l'kutcha brichu, bringing Hashem, a man, closer. And that is the imagery of the makel shakei, the rod that is blossoming. And Hashem says, you understood well, because the almond blossoms as well in 21 days. And what Yirmiyahu HaNavi says is, it's not an anaf, it's not a branch, it's not a mateh, it's not a stick. He calls it a makel. A makel is a staff that strikes, that punishes. But it's a makel shaked, it's a makel that's going to bear fruit. Because the punishment itself bears fruit. The 21 days of retribution are there, yes, as a makel. But it's there as a shaked, as something that's blossoming, that's something that's positive. The punishment is not just to push us down. It's to raise us up. It's to make us better. And that's pshat in Source 50 and 51, where the Navi Zachariah tells us that these days in the future are going to be days of Yomim Tovim, L'sasar L'simcha, for joy. I can understand they won't be fast days, but days of joy? On the one level, yes. Days of joy, because it's these very days where we feel this distance, where we feel this yayush, where we feel this despair, and we feel it in a very poignant way that drives us to be able to hold on to whatever we can to come closer to Hashem. These days are days where we feel that Hashem loves us so much and puts us through so much in order for us to get closer to Him. And these are days where we listen to that message and respond, yes, Hashem, I'm not just going through the 3 weeks to get them over with, but I'm going to try to connect my mind to my heart during these 3 weeks. I'm going to try to become better in these 3 weeks. I'm going to try to come closer in these 3 weeks. And I think perhaps the pinnacle of Av, the message of Av, is found in the Gvaldik word of the Abderav on Tu B'Av. We know that when you take a look at Ashrei in 52, the letter Nun is not found in the Ashrei, because it's the idea of Nefilah, falling. But rather, the next letter, Samech, It's Somech Hashem L'chol Anofli. Hashem lifts up all those who fall. The actor Rav notes on a beautiful Hasidic level that the Simcha of Tu B'Av, right, there were no greater days than Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, and Yom Kippur. The Gemara describes the future vision of all the righteous people dancing in a circle, recognizing that Hashem will save them. Tu B'Av, says the actor Rav, is the 15th letter of Av, of the Aleph Bet. The essence of Tu B'Av is the 15th letter in the Av, Aleph Bet of the alphabet. What's the 15th letter in the alphabet? The letter Samech. The letter Samech is a full circle. And he notes in this 53, the letter Nun, which represents Nefila, falling, is a half a circle. In life, we usually see just the Nun, the falling. The Tisha B'Av is a time where we know intellectually Mashiach is born, but we're only still holding by the Nun, by the half, by the falling. The seventh day after, when the Shiva is over of the morning, the seventh day after Tisha B'Av is Tu B'Av, the full moon, the Samech, the full circle, when the tzaddikim will dance and say and recognize that in retrospect we realize that everything that's happened is coming from Hashem. There are no nuns. Somech Hashem l'chol noflim. The Samech takes over for the nun. You don't need a nun because now you've been lifted up. The Samech has taken over. In the future, we'll be able to see Hayinu kechomi, that all that we've gone through has been ultimately for our good. It's the idea that the Baal Shem Tov speaks about from the idea of Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tami. Shivisi means I've made all things equal. In assessing the events of my life, I accept and I appreciate everything which happens to me with complete detachment. It makes no difference whether these events were good or bad, because Hashem l'negdi tami. Hashem is always does what is best for me, even though I do not always see why. I am confident that really everything is equally for the best. Tisha B'Av, we live the level of Nun, the level of falling. Tu B'Av, we're able to have that vision that everything that happens is ultimately for the good, and we're able to have that circle, we're able to dance. It's a beautiful story, and then we'll end with that last level of Chazon and tie all three levels together. Beautiful story Rabbi Spiro brings in one shining moment of a family in the early 1900s who struggled, the father struggled with keeping Shabbos. It was very difficult, as we know. Every Friday he'd come home, lose his job, start again on Sunday. And it was a very big challenge. But Shabbos they kept. And one Shabbos, the little child, Yaakov David, who was 5, got a little bit too close to the Shabbos candles, and his shirt caught on fire. And before he knew it, he was engulfed in flames, and they left a tremendous scar all over his body. And he was scarred for the rest of his life, terribly scarred on his chest, the top of his body. And as time went on, Yaakov David became more and more, as unfortunately happened to many Jews during that period, estranged from Yiddishkeit, became Jack, decided he was going to join the army in the World War II, and eventually gets married and settles in the Bronx and has a little child named Philip. And one day when Philip is a young boy, he goes swimming with his father. And it was the first time that he saw his father without a shirt on. And he sees all of these burns. And as a child, he's horrified. And he lets out a scream, like, what are these for? And his father says, don't worry. I wear these with a badge of honor. This came from when I was a little child. My mother used to light Sabbath candles, and I got burned by them. But I don't look at it as something horrible. Even though I don't keep the Sabbath, I look at it as a badge of honor that I was burned by these Sabbath candles. And that made a tremendous impression on Philip. And when he got older and went to college and somebody invited him for a Shabbos meal, as he sat down at the Shabbos table and saw those Friday night candles, he recalled the badge of honor that his father wore with such pride. And that kindled in him those Shabbos memories of you know, generations gone by. And ultimately, Philip returns to Yiddishkeit and allows the Shabbos to drive his life. And now he lives a life of Shomer Torah mitzvot and has raised generations who are loyal to Torah mitzvot. When the father wears that badge of honor, he only has the nun. He doesn't understand why this burning has happened. But in retrospect, we see the samech, that is those burns that were able to ignite and light the fire in his son to bring him back to Yiddishkeit. My friends, sometimes we see the samech, sometimes we don't. But we understand that the essence of Judaism is man galutenu ba'ava, that everything is with love. And there's a larger picture both on the individual as well as the national level. And that is the mindset of Tisha B'Av, that even at the moment of destruction, the Mashiach is born. The Tu B'Av comes out, that time where we see the redemption is close. And this is the idea that we peace far in the suffering being down. That Shabbat Chazon is, we know that the whole essence of a day in the week, a Yontif, is dependent on Shabbos, right? The Ufrof before the Chasna. We know there's a Pasuk in Yoel, the beginning of Perek Gimel, that in the future times there's going to be prophecy. And it describes how Shvoch Eruchi El Kol Basar, the asterisk in 57, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. And Bachurecha, the pasuk continues, Chaz Yonot Yirot, your children will have visions. Shabbat Chazon is teaching us that inherent in this Shabbos, which seems to be one of the saddest Shabbatot of the year, is really the Chazon, the vision of redemption. The vision of what we're looking forward to, that our children will have these visions. Eshvoch Eruchi al kol basar, my spirit will be on all flesh. And the very Shabbos, which seems to be the most down Shabbos, in reality it's the most elevated Shabbos. It's a Shabbos which has the kernel of the Chazon, the hope for the future vision, the vision of the Third Temple, because Yiddishkeit is about never looking at despair in its own right. There's no nun. There's only a samech, a full circle to bring us up. And therefore, what we've tried to see, my friends, together, is that Judaism is unique in not only celebrating our victory, we also commemorate and mark our defeat, because the world is not about us. The world is about understanding that Hashem is the center of our reality. Shabbat Chazon, that even in the difficulty, it's banim mashchitim. We're still Hashem's children. He still loves us. Our challenge is to be able to bring back the Ashraf Hashchina, to be able to illuminate this path by connecting the head to the heart, being able to rein in the horses, practically to try a couple of times a day, to be able to allow our head to direct us in the MS, in the truth. And in our life, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Tzaddikim, what we have to work on is this Yirat Shamayim. Shabbat is our gift of Yirat Shamayim. We see Hashem so clearly. Shabbat Chazon, when we feel how much we want to connect with Hashem, on this Shabbos we feel even more intensely how clearly we see Hashem. We need to understand the Makel Shaked, that Yirmi sees it's a stick that's blossoming. That even when Hashem punishes us, it's coming out of love. And recognize that everything that happens is 21 days and 21 days. The white goat and the black goat are equated. They're exactly equal. Our understanding has to be that even though we live in a level of a nun, that we only see the nefila, it's ultimately about the Tu B'Av, the 15th letter in the alphabet, the Samech, the full circle, the vision of the Tzaddikim, dancing around Hashem. And on Shabbat Chazon, which is the essence of that week, we work toward this vision, where ultimately we should be zocha on this Shabbos to have the vision of the third temple, wherein we will be blessed with the vision of Yoel and Navi coming true, that indeed our sons and our daughters, chazyonos yiro, they will have visions and they will able to see godliness. V'mheira b'yameinu.